Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The Lord in that text was stating the two ends which await all mankind. Everyone in this world tonight, your friends, your neighbors, will either spend eternity in everlasting punishment, or they will enjoy eternal life. Let me bring that down closer. Everyone in this meeting, right now, will either go to everlasting punishment or will enter in to life eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ here was speaking of the day of judgment. But tonight, I want to look at a day right here in Genesis when the Lord did something and all but 8 people in the world at that time began their eternity of everlasting punishment. What did the Lord do? The Lord closed the door. The narrative that David has read to us from Genesis chapter 7, as he has already said, is familiar to us all. In fact, I would say that if you were to go down into Portadown tonight and ask the people, do they know anything but Noah and the Ark? The majority of them would say they've at least heard of Noah and the Ark. I'm not saying they would know all about it, but at least they might know something about it. But friends, it was a day like none other from the foundation of the world to that moment in time. It was a day that teaches as much of what God thinks of sin. It was a day that we also see that God declares that He knows all about men's sin. If you look with me at Genesis chapter 6, the preceding chapter, and verse 5, and there we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." There we have his inward sin and his outward sin. And then the Lord decreed in verse 7 of chapter 6, "I will destroy man, whom I have made, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for repent of me that I have made them." But then look at verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Grace has reached this man, saved him in the midst of this evil world. Here's a man plucked, as it were, as a brand from the burning. And then now the Lord is telling his servant Noah what he's going to do. That judgment is coming upon the world for its sin. And the Lord tells Noah in chapter 6, verses 14 to 22, he's to build an ark. He's to build an ark. And the Lord gives Noah the instructions about it. And in verse 22, we read these words of chapter 6. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." It brings us to chapter 7, and now it's time for Noah to enter the ark. And with Noah and his family in the ark, our text tells us the Lord shut them in. The Lord shut them in. I want to speak tonight on what resulted when God closed this door. What resulted when God closed this door? I want firstly to look at the security of this closed door. For there was security. Noah entered into the divine presence of the Lord. We read in chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark." I want you to notice something. The Lord didn't say, "Go into the ark, Noah." The Lord invited Noah to come into the ark. And when Noah entered that ark, he entered to where the Lord was. He entered into the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord shut that door, Noah entered into the security of the Lord's presence. I want you to also notice something else. The divine refuge that Noah entered into. I know that a lot of people talk about Noah's ark, and we know what they mean by that. But my dear friend, it was God's ark. God used Noah to build it. The plan was God's. And the point that I'm trying to make here is this. Noah found refuge for the coming judgment in what God had provided. Noah found refuge as shelter for the coming judgment and what God provided. But let me ask you, sinner, right at this point in this meeting, have you found refuge? Have you found security in what God has provided in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ? Noah found refuge in what God had provided. Look with me. Verse 14 of chapter 6. Here's the instructions about the ark. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That word pitch is the Hebrew word kaphar. It's translated 70 times in the Old Testament to make atonement. The meaning is to cover. And all in this meeting, who are saved and washed in redeeming blood, know that there is only shelter. Know that the only refuge there is neath the blood of atonement. And there alone sin is covered. And there alone men and women find peace and refuge with God. Dear friend, this ark was a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go into all the details tonight. But sinner friend, listen. There was one way in. There was one door. God told Noah, one door. As we've already said, the ark was provided by God for the refuge from His wrath for sin, from divine judgment, from divine judgment from a sin-hating God. And my dear friend, let me put it to you like this, as plainly as I can put it. If you are going to have refuge, if you are going to be saved, if you are going to be delivered from divine wrath, you are only going to find it in Jesus Christ. And if you do not find it in Jesus Christ, you won't find it at all. You won't find it at all. There was one door into this ark. Let me tell you, there weren't a multitude of arks. There was one ark. And into this ark, sinners were invited to come into the safety with the Lord, a place of absolute security that, sinner, tonight you'll only find in Christ. Well, you know, there was something else. The storm fell upon the ark. This judgment fell upon the ark. It bore it. God made it in such a way that it sustained it until the storm was finished. And it's all pointing us to the cross, to where our blessed Lord Jesus, in a body prepared for Him, bore our sins in His own body to the tree, that all who rest in Christ, all who depend in Christ are safe, are delivered from impending judgment for sin. Christ took at the cross divine wrath. He took our sins, therefore He took our punishment. That all who trust in Him, that all who rest in Him might be saved. We who are saved in this meeting, we who are in Christ, we thank God that there is no wrath for us. The wrath of a sin-hating God, Toplady said, with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. We're in Christ. We're saved. But there was also divine communion here when God closed the door. Could you turn with me to chapter 8, verse 15 and 16? God spake unto Noah. Chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. There they are. In the ark, and God's communing with them, telling them now to go forth, telling them now to go forth from the ark, communion with God. Sinner, you know nothing of it. I tell you that is solemn. You know nothing of communion with God. Because if you're ever going to have communion with God, you're going to have communion with God through Jesus Christ, or you're not going to have it at all. Here's Noah in the ark, communion with God. And let me tell you, friends, it was in the ark of a communion. There was no communion with God for those outside it. Just the same as there's no communion with God because you come to a free Presbyterian church. Communion with God is in Christ. Thank God the free Presbyterian church preaches the message that points you to Christ. The communion with God is in Christ. There was communion with God in the ark. But friends, I want to mainly speak tonight on the consequences. The consequences of this closed door. The consequences of this closed door. And there were consequences. It was only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives that entered into that ark. But what of those that were left outside? What of those who wouldn't enter in? What privileges they'd spurned? Noah, this man that grace has reached. Noah, this man that the Lord has saved. And what was he? He was a preacher. For 2 Peter 2 tells us, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. His very name, it means rest. And 120 years, the word of God declares Noah built the ark. And Noah preached. God sent them a preacher. But I tell you, friend, one of the consequences was this. When God closed the door on those outside, there was no more preaching. They had heard their last sermon. Never again would they hear the word of God preached. God sent them a preacher. We live in a province, and so many people make little of preaching. And they bring in everything else, my dear friend. When God brought judgment, he withdrew his preacher. He withdrew his preacher. Just like Jonah's day. When God told Jonah that the sin of Nineveh, and dear sinner, your sin has gone up before God, just as it did in the days of Jonah. And when God told Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh, for their wickedness has come up before me, what was happening? God was sending them a preacher. God was sending them a preacher to warn them. And here's Noah. 120 years he preached until the day God closed the door. And for those Christ rejectors, for that's what they were. That was the message Noah preached. That's what they were. When God closed that door, they'd heard their last sermon. They'd heard their last sermon. No more preaching, Noah. Dear sinner friend in Porta Down, and I mean friend, we're glad you're here. How many preachers has God sent you? How many preachers has God sent along your path? How many sermons have you heard? How many times has a dear believer drawn alongside you and maybe trembling placed a gospel tract in your hand? Don't you see what was happening? God was sending you a preacher. God was warning you. Warning you of the consequences of your sin. He was doing for you what he did in Noah's day. He was doing for you what he's done in Nineveh. And here we have, let me ask you again, many sermons have you heard? Many times has God checked your wickedness, your Christ rejection, your drunkenness, your Sabbath breaking, whatever it is. I don't need to know it, but God knows it. God saw the wickedness of man. God sent him a preacher. And here we have it. One of the consequences of the closed door. No more sermons. No more hearing of the day that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. No more being taken to the cross. Told of a place of peace and pardon for sin. Sinner in Porta Down. The Lord's saying to you tonight, how many sermons have you heard? Still you reject the Lord. Secondly, not only was there no more preaching for them, there was no more opportunity to enter communion with God on earth. I want you to turn to Matthew 24. I want you to turn to Matthew 24. And here we have the Lord Jesus, the one they rejected. Here we have the Savior of man. And he's preaching. And what does he bring to their attention? Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Took them all away. So I want you to see something. That when the Lord Jesus said, knew not, he didn't mean they didn't know what was coming. He didn't mean they didn't understand. But
they didn't believe the creature. They didn't believe the man God raised up to preach to them. Year after year, year after year, they didn't believe that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. Friend, listen, how many times have you heard the wages of sin is death? How many times have you heard of the day of judgment to come? The day when you'll stand before God, and here were a people, and the Lord Jesus tells us about them. 120 years Noah preached. Until the flood came. Took them all away. God said no more preaching. No more sermons. Jesus said until the day the flood came. There they were in their sin. The very setting, friend. The very setting here in Genesis 6. Let me just digress a minute. In Genesis 6, the very setting is this. God has just said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And here were a people who never repented. They loved their sin. They rejected the sinner's Savior. And sinner friend, let's be honest tonight. Let's be honest before God. The reason you're not saved is not that you don't know. It's not that you don't know of Jesus Christ. It's that you love your sin and you don't want the Son of God. Oh, you may think of a day in the future, I'll get saved then. I know all about that. I used to think like that myself until grace awoke me to the danger of it. That's why you're not saved. Maybe you say, why did these people just not enter into the ark? They didn't enter in for the same reason you don't come to Christ. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They knew to come to Christ there was a cost. They knew the sin had to go. And here they are. Here they are. And the Lord Jesus, the one who Noah preached to them, tells us the flood came and swept them all away. Noah was in the ark at this time. But here's the Lord and He tells us what happened. Noah, the flood came, took them all away. Sinner, tell me, if your death finds you out of Christ, never again will you hear a sermon. Never again will you hear from this pulpit or will you see the text behind me justified by His blood. Never again will you hear, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, Jesus said the flood came and took them all away. One final question. Where did it take them? Where did it take them? Brings me to my final point. No hope of heaven. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. 'Cause he is right to ask, where did it take them away to? The book of Job asks a very solemn question. But man dieth, man wasteth away, yea, giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where is he? Where did the flood take these people? All but 8 people in the days of Noah. Here they are in verse 19 of chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 3. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which for some time were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And here they are, they're the spirits in prison. My dear friend, when the flood came, it swept them all away to hell. Swept them all away. As I stand here tonight in Portadown as a dying man before dying people, they're there. As the everlasting warning from this book, God will do to sin what He said He'd do. And God will do to those who reject Christ. You see, they never entered while there was opportunity. And now there was no more opportunity for them. God withdrew His preacher. God closed the door and swept them all away. I come back to where I started. Jesus said, these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Sinner, you can reject me, your minister. You see, it wasn't Noah at all they rejected. It was Noah's message. Noah preached Christ unto them, and they rejected Christ. And we've seen in this portion what God thinks of sin. And we see that God judges sin. But friends, look what else we see. We see God provides a remedy for sin. God provides a remedy for sin. Oh friends, where does it all take us? Takes us to the cross of Calvary. Takes us to outside Jerusalem. To the same Son of God who preached that the flood came and took them all away. Because here in 1 Peter 3:18 we read, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Dear sinner friend, tonight, when Christ took our humanity, that body prepared for him to be our mediator, to be our Savior, he did it to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He did it to go to the cross. He did it to pay for sin. He did it that you and I, the fallen, guilty sons of Adam's helpless race, and Portadown Free Presbyterian Church, might be saved. And friend, he did it at the cross. He granted there, as he died to provide a refuge in himself. He died to provide communion with God through his blood, to grant his abiding presence to all that flee to him. Because, friend, at the cross, divine justice was satisfied. Divine wrath was turned away. 1 John tells us here in his love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Friend, tonight, let me tell you, if you never get to the cross, there's no other remedy for sin. If you never get to Calvary, I don't care where you get to, you'll never be in heaven. You'll never enjoy communion with God. But friend, I can tell you in the authority of this book, when Jesus cried, it is finished. The work of redemption was done. Christ drank damnation dry. And as we have sang tonight, step out on the promise, friend. Get under the blood. Step out on the promise. Get under the blood. We've seen in this portion tonight, yes, God deals with sin. Friend, let me tell you, God dealt with sin at the cross. And in the person of his Son, Christ put it away by the sacrifice of himself. Sinner, what are you going to do? You know, just right now in this meeting, forget all about a student before you. Forget all about that. God commands you tonight to repent and believe the gospel. To leave your sin behind. He's provided one way back to him. It's through the blood of the cross. It's through Christ. Through his atoning sacrifice. But friend, right now the Lord says, come now. As he said to Noah, as Noah preached to come into the ark, the Lord says, come now. Right now. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. Friend, you will make a decision tonight. Not as solemn. Maybe you already have made it. Every dear unsaved, as you sit here, having heard many sermons, you'll say no again to Christ. You'll reject him again. Let me tell you something. Within the last few weeks, I heard a story. It's a true story. I know the person involved. And this individual heard many sermons. And one night he decided, this person, that he would go out. And he went to a disco or whatever you call them. But there was a prayer meeting in the area. And in that very prayer meeting, this individual was prayed for. Even as he was in the disco. And my dear friend, in the disco he dropped dead. I tell you, friend, it's solemn. And tonight, as we stand, as I stand before you as a dying man, before dying woman, and before dying people, the Word of God comes again to our hearts. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous enter life eternal. My dear friend, enter in tonight. Enter into Christ. Be saved tonight. Nothing else matters. I don't care what situations are in your life. There's nothing comes near this. You're a breath from hell. Your soul is of more value than the whole world. But I thank God, just before the Lord spoke to his disciples about the value of the soul, he told them he was going to the cross. And there, like nowhere else, we see the value of a soul. For none could redeem a soul but the Son of God by the shedding of his blood. Friend, get to Christ tonight. The closing moments of this meeting. Quietness of your pew. I don't know you. I'm a stranger here. The Lord knows you. The Lord knows you. He challenges you tonight. How many sermons are you going to hear? How long are you going to reject my Son? Flee to him tonight. Be like those in Hebrews that Paul spoke about. They fled for refuge to lay hold upon the anchor for the soul. Come now. See if tonight. If I can help you, or Reverend Elliot, or any of the oversight here, you make that be known. But above all, friend, get to Christ. Be saved tonight. As David said before he read the scriptures, it's the most solemn thing. There were great consequences when God closed that door. What a tragedy. If one in Portadown Free Presbyterian Church heard their final sermon, even on the 6th of December, 2009, and went away to everlasting punishment. Get to Christ. Come now. Divine justice has been satisfied. Divine wrath has been turned away at the cross. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Lord says, come. All things are ready. And whosoever shall come and call on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God write his word in your heart for his name's sake.